Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So our focus in Advent this year has been centered around the word mystery. That Greek word for mystery is used to refer to something that we could never understand on our own. We could not understand it. In fact, the Greek word for mystery is mysterion. So it's the same, basically the same word. And what it basically means is that unless it's been revealed to us, we would never be able to figure it out. But even we find sometimes when God does reveal these things, they're still not always understood correctly or completely. Excuse me, just a second. It's a mystery. I woke up this morning and couldn't hardly speak. Anyway, so Paul writes to us in his letter to the Colossians, "I want your hearts to be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." What Paul says there is that Jesus himself is God's mystery. And there are actually a lot of things about him and his coming to us that are mysterious. Consider, although he was never given any of the hot new toys when he came into the world, every year, countless toys and gifts are given as we celebrate his birth. And although Jesus never had a home of his own, the poor and the homeless are given to find shelter in his name. Although Jesus never had food in great supply, Christians around the world freely feed the hungry. Although Jesus never received a high school diploma or college education, numerous institutions of learning have been opened to proclaim his name. And although Jesus never fathered any physical children, orphanages and adoption centers have found homes for children who had otherwise never known about a home. And how mysterious is it that in the name of the Christ child, doctors have been sent out to heal, hospitals have been built, and medicines have been discovered to bring relief. A man by the name of Alvin Schmidt wrote a book one time that spoke to this and made the point that many of these things that were just mentioned were not common in the ancient world or in the world in general today. And that if it wasn't for Christmas, so many of these things wouldn't exist. Orphanages, hospitals. So it really is true that we can't fully understand the mystery that is Jesus. In spite of the hatred directed toward him in his life, his name is the most highly revered in all of history. Although he never held any position of earthly power, today without hesitation, hundreds of millions of people acknowledge his leadership in their lives. At Christmas, his people declare that Jesus is more than an annual savior of our economy. He is the savior of our souls. He was born, lived, died, and rose again, and he reigns on high for all who believe in him. So no wonder that we love to hear the word of the angels each Christmas, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." But even as we think about these kind of mysteries, we know that many in our world do not. It's a mystery that the world simply doesn't want to see. It might be that our world is more like this little boy who pushed his mother's patience throughout the day until finally she sent him to his room for time out. And as he was trudging up the stairs, she said, "Young man, you stay in your room until you're sorry enough to come out." Less than 5 minutes passed before she heard the bedroom door creak open and she saw her son in the doorway, and she said, "Well, are you sorry enough to come out now?" And he said, "No, but I'm sorry enough to want the door left open." like that little boy. Many want a little bit of Jesus, but not so much that he makes them have to question anything in their lives. Unfortunately, many don't want, as Paul said, the knowledge of God's mystery. They don't want to know this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. In fact, most would prefer that God just stay out of their business. That all this talk about sin and its dangers is just for religious fanatics. Some might be willing to have a superficial relationship with the church, but only as an insurance policy. Because while they're not sure if there really is this place called hell, if there is, they're pretty sure they don't want to be there. So they kind of, sort of, maybe believe just a little bit. Like that little boy. They want the door left open, at least just a little bit. But that's all. They want a little bit of the Savior, just enough to make them feel better about themselves. But they don't want a deep understanding of God's mystery, which is Christ. I wonder what people like this would have done if they'd been with the shepherds that night when the angels announced the birth of Christ. I wonder if they'd have turned to their fellow shepherds and said, "You know what? That was pretty cool. Quite a spectacular show, actually. You know, those angels can really do it well." And you know, if I ever get the time, like maybe when I'm retired, I'll do some follow-up on this thing that the Lord has told us about. Or, you know, this shepherd job is all right. It's not much, but it's all I've got. And man, if the boss ever found out that we left the sheep to go see a baby, we'd all get canned. It would truly be a mystery if anyone could experience what the shepherds did and not respond by running to that manger. But today, people find all kinds of reasons to not come and to know the mystery of God in Christ. They aren't interested in the mystery that when humans sinned and turned their backs on him, and all the blessings that he wanted for them, God didn't turn his back on them. They don't find it mysterious at all that God was willing to seek the very people whose goal in life was to ignore him. They aren't interested in the mystery that God would remember his promise to send a Savior when his own people had forgotten him. And they don't ponder the mystery that Jesus was willing to plead with those who wouldn't hear him, to reach out to those who slapped him away, even forgive those who crucified him. So maybe here's the real mystery. Why did God so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Why did God make it so that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life? This time of year, it really strikes me what a mystery it is that people don't want to see Christ, even at Christmas. There are people all around us, people whose homes are decorated with Christmas lights and ornaments, but whose hearts remain cold and dark as to why we celebrate this season. It's a true mystery that there are so many people whose arms will be filled with packages and who will give and receive gifts, but who don't want to know or receive God's greatest gift, the true gift that is Christmas. Satan's done a great job of confusing that simple story of salvation. And if you ask people what the major message of the Bible is, most will reply, "Well, God wants us to be good." Ask people, what does it mean when we say peace on earth and goodwill toward men? And they'll probably say, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." At this time of year, it's a mystery that so many want nothing to do with Christ. And that's why Paul wrote, "I want your hearts to be encouraged and to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. God wants you and me to know this mystery. He's revealed that the central message of the Bible, the central message of Christmas, isn't just about gifts and presents, but of the life itself that we find in Jesus, the one who was laid in a manger, was born so that he might die for a sinful humanity who wanted nothing to do with it. If you want to see God's great mystery of grace, if you wish to have a life filled with purpose, then go to Bethlehem, enter the stable, and look into the manger. Because there is the mystery that was hidden, but is now revealed. On April 15th, 1912, the Titanic struck an iceberg and in less than 3 hours sank to the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. 20 lifeboats and rafts were launched, but many were only partly filled. And to keep themselves from being swamped, the partially filled lifeboats rowed out of reach of the stranded souls who were trying to stay afloat in the icy water. And it wasn't long before those voices were stilled as the cold and exhaustion took their toll. That's a story that we know. But there's more. There was one lifeboat, lifeboat number 14, that took the passengers that they had and distributed them among the other boats and rowed back after the ship slipped from sight. And alone, it chased the cries in the darkness, seeking and saving a precious few. You know, we're lifeboat number 14 in this world of ours. And God's asking us by the power of the Spirit to go and to share the message of God's great rescue that he accomplished in the birth of his Son. It's been over 2,000 years now that have passed since Jesus' birth. And God's desire remains that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants all people to know Jesus. God wants all people to know his love, which says, enough suffering, enough starvation, enough pain, enough terror, enough hatred, enough death, enough indignity, enough lives that are trapped in helplessness, sickness, and disease. Christmas is a time of celebration and joy and a mission. And there are many who don't know what we know, but still need to know what we know. People who need to know that at Christmas the mystery has been revealed. The gift was laid in a manger. God has come to us so that we might be with him forever. When you think about it, that simple fact still remains mysterious. But though it's mysterious and strange, and quite frankly, almost unbelievable, it's no less true and so much more important. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.